What is going on, guys? Hello and welcome back to another edition of the GoingForTwo.com NFL Sports Betting Show. I'm, of course, your host, Matt Sandell, and it is week 10 in the NFL already. Really kind of bummed, man. We're already in double-digit weeks. Still got about 8 weeks of football until playoffs, so there's still some time to get some bets in and whatnot. So we came back last week. Week 9 was Zach Quick. It was probably our worst week that we've had, but it was still another profitable one. We were up $350 last week. Sweated out the Bears and Buffalo over-under. We teased that to 50.5. And that was probably the biggest sweat for me of the year. It was it ended 41-9. So it was 50. We got the hook at 50.5. So we won that bet. And, of course, we lost the Devontae Parker over-under yards of 59, but overall a profitable week, $350. So we are back at it for week 10 here with the founder of Going For Two himself, Jeff Lambert. Jeff, how's it going tonight, my man?
Hey, man, how you doing, man? Glad to have you. Glad to be back on the podcast.
Absolutely, man. We're glad to have you. How was week 9 for you in the NFL, DFS-wise, everything? How did it go?
It was a great week. We, of course, I have my Friday show that we do, and we had some great calls as far as daily fantasy goes. We called out Calvin Ridley, who had a big game. We called out Duke Johnson, who had a big game. We called out a bunch of players that were kind of off the radar that actually did really, really well this past weekend. So, overall, had a great weekend. Obviously, in season long, too, I put it as well. I'm in 10 leagues. I went 7-3, and I won my most important league, so... definitely a good weekend in fantasy for me, for sure.
Awesome. Glad to hear it, man. Glad to hear it. Speaking of which, I wanted to make a note of this. You know, I truly hate hearing people talk about their fantasy teams. I really do. But I gotta share a story this weekend of probably my proudest fantasy win of all time. So I'm in one season-long league. $25 entry, like 12 people. So winner gets like $300. So it's a little long shot bet, little futures that I play, and I kind of pay attention to it. And so I was in bye week hell this week, man. I had Saquon Barkley on a bye, Tyler Boyd on a bye, Golden Tate was not on a bye. Then he gets traded to the Eagles. He's then now on a bye. But so I was just in total bye week hell. I'm picking up guys left and right. So to start the week off, I pick up Derek Carr for the Thursday night game. He does terrible, 7.3 points. So right off the bat, I'm projected to lose by like 40 points, and it's just not good. My guy doesn't have any other, who I'm playing. He doesn't have any bye week, so I basically mailed in the week. But I'm sort of paying attention. Now, here's my team, Jeff. That's probably the worst team I've ever seen of any week, and it's a 12-man. I had... Derek Carr as quarterback, 7 points. Isaiah Crowell, 4 points. Nick Chubb did pretty well, but again, not a big name. He had 16. My wide receiver one for the week was Laquon Treadwell of the Vikings, who I cannot stand. He had like 5 points. Other wideout being Tyrell Williams going up against the Seattle defense. Didn't really like that play either. He had a touchdown though. Then Chris Herndon, whose name I learned at tight end several weeks ago. And then my guy, Michael Thomas, saved me with a 40 burger, 39 points. I got to send him a cheap bottle of champagne or something, man. He saved it. He had 40 fucking points. And then I had like the Chiefs D who did not do well. Graham Gano, not great either. So I was able to sneak out a W with that team on paper. Just an awful, awful team. Laquon Treadwell is my starting wide receiver. It was terrible. And yet I was able to sneak out a W.
That is crazy. And that other guy that you beat must be sick. He probably looked at me and was like, oh man, this is going to be an easy victory for me. And to lose to basically one player. I mean, that's like 40 points that he put up. That's basically one player that beat him.
Exactly. He had Matt Ryan, who had a big week. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, on paper, that looks like a great play against Tennessee. He only had like 16 points. I think he accidentally forgot Rob Gronkowski was questionable and then did not start. He did start Gronk, and he, of course, got zero. So that's where it really killed him. But And he's the one who runs the league, too. So I was really proud of starting Laquon Treadwell and winning by 15 points.
Definitely a story right there.
Oh, man. Anyway, we are back playing a little Guess the Lines for Week 10 in the NFL. So let's jump right in, man. You ready?
Let's do it.
Alrighty, several bye weeks this week. My Minnesota Vikings are on bye, the Baltimore Ravens, Houston, and the Denver Broncos. So four bye weeks. Of course, we do not do Thursday night football either, but a really good Thursday night game this week, Jeff. Steelers taking on the Panthers. I actually might watch that game, but not going to bet on it for sure.
Yeah, not a bad game. Definitely better on paper than the Raiders and the Niners were last week.
Oh, my God. Yes, that was that was a brutal one. Any game that the Raiders are in, I know in a couple weeks they play the Cardinals. Like, oh, my God, there are some terrible, terrible games. And that was one of them for sure. But Nick Mullins, the savior, he got you guys a win. So we're going to be starting off with the 4-4 Atlanta Falcons taking on the 2-6-1 Cleveland Browns. Atlanta, they looked kind of dead in the water several weeks ago. They were 1-4. They've won three straight, so they are now 4-4. Not out of it yet. We sort of wrote them off several weeks ago on our podcast, but again, they have several tough games coming up. They got the Saints again, the Panthers. So we'll see how that goes. But they're 4-4, 500 right now. And then Cleveland has just been a shit show, as usual. Even with Baker there, even with an improved defense, they've lost four straight. They just fired Hugh Jackson. It is in Cleveland, so I said Atlanta by 5 points.
Yeah, I think the Browns, when you look at some of the two-win teams or two wins and below, I think the Browns are better than their record shows. I think they've been competitive. You know, there were a few games where they weren't competitive, which is why Hugh Jackson got fired, obviously. Do think that they had a pretty good game last week. You obviously put the Chiefs, so there's no chance they're going to win that game. But they hung tight longer than most people expected them to. And I think they're a better team than people want to give them credit for. And I think that if they can get Duke Johnson involved, Nick Chubb's coming into his own, if they can limit, you know, Baker Mayfield's, you know, ability to actually have to win the game for them, they can probably hang around. The Falcons aren't very good road team, so that helps them as well. So I'm actually going to go, I'm going to say it's a little bit closer. I'm going to go Falcons by four.
Jeff, very nice guess. You are 1-0. It is exactly Atlanta by 4 points right now in Vegas. Very nice guess, Jeff. Yeah, the thing about Cleveland is, like, on paper, they're like a really fun team. They have like a lot of good players. Njoku's having a good year. Jarvis Landry's still there. Chubb's playing really well. Baker, of course, is a fan favorite. And then on the defensive side, they got Myles Garrett. Denzel Ward's a Rookie of the Year candidate. They have a lot of good players, and yet they're just not good. They just don't, they can't put it together. The play calling is really, really bad. Greg Williams is now there as the interim head coach. I've won a lot of money the last several weeks betting against the teams playing Cleveland, and I think I gotta go back to the well again here. I have Atlanta +9 in my teaser, so they can lose by 8, and you still get the victory. Got a $300 13-point teaser this week, so it bumps up Atlanta +9. So I feel pretty confident in that pick. I just think Atlanta's gonna come on strong. They have a really easy matchup right here. I mean, I know it's on the road, but they just destroyed the Redskins last week.
Yeah, they did beat the Redskins pretty badly. They were at home for that game, but the Falcons, I mean, they are a good team. They're good offense. Obviously, they can move the ball on this Browns team. Their running game got kind of rejuvenated last week with Tevin Coleman finally doing what we thought he could do. But I do think the Browns will hang. I think they hung with the Chiefs last week, which is a much better team than the Falcons are. I think that the new coaching regime has kind of changed the culture a little bit. I think getting Duke Johnson involved is huge because he was a big part of their team last year, and he was basically non-existent for this year. So now they got an extra weapon there. Like I said, Baker Mayfield, this Falcons defense is terrible. I think versus the pass, they're the last, you know, they're dead last as far as versus the pass. So I think Mayfield will have a pretty easy time finding some open targets. And I think they actually kind of stick close. I know you got them, losing by a +9, but I don't know. I don't see it. I think it's closer. I think it's going to be closer to what Vegas has.
So Atlanta plus 9 in my tease. Like, the thinking behind it is, of course, that even if Cleveland wins, they're not going to blow them out by 2 touchdowns. Like, this team cannot put together several consecutive good drives. They just, there's no way that the wins that they've had this year, they beat Baltimore by 2 points, and then they beat the Jets by, I think, 6. So, I mean, Atlanta, they're coming on strong. They've played really well recently. So I like them plus 9 in my tees. The over-under, 50.5 points. Cleveland plus 200 for the victory. Atlanta minus 290 to beat Cleveland. So that's what I like this week. I'm just throwing them in my tees. I think Atlanta comes out and plays really well. I think they're still in the playoff hunt, man. That it's not over for them, even though they started off 1-4. So any bets that you like in this game?
No, I think I'm avoiding this game. I just don't. Like I said, the Falcons on the road always scare me. The weather might be a factor. I don't know what it is. I have to go look at the weather. But, you know, Matt Ryan is not very good in bad conditions. I think I'm going to avoid this game. I think the Browns could pull the upset, honestly.
Like I said, when a coach gets fired, especially one like Hugh Jackson, who it really seemed like the players did not like playing for him. He was, of course, 3-36 and 1 in his tenure there. So to have him gone, I just think is a huge weight lifted off the Browns' shoulders. So maybe they come out and play well. We'll see on Sunday. Alrighty, the next game we have on the slate, the 5-3 Washington Redskins taking on the Buccaneers of Tampa Bay, 3-5. Last week on our podcast, I really, really liked Atlanta plus 1.5, and I was thinking of teasing them to plus 14.5, but Zach sort of talked me out of it, but the teaser hit anyway. I really liked Atlanta. I don't think Washington is good, and they sort of proved it last week. They lost by, I believe, 21 points. Maybe it was even more than that. Tampa Bay, of course, the game was 35-7 against the Panthers at one point last week, but they Fitzmagic sort of turned it on there at the end, and they made it a close one. So it is in Tampa Bay. I said Washington by 1 point.
Yeah, I think Washington kind of showed their true colors in this game. I think the last time that they played a top five offense was when they played the Saints. Of course, they got blown out. Everyone kind of chalked it up to just being the Saints. They said the Redskins' defense is pretty good. Of course, they go to Atlanta, another top five passing offense, and they get kind of beat pretty good there, too. That defense isn't as good as they thought that it was. I think that they just played some pretty bad teams to sort of pad their stats. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is not necessarily a top five passing offense, but they are a top 10, so they are a pretty good passing offense. They don't run the ball very well. Fitzmagic has been Fitzmagic, you know, pretty much the whole season, except for a couple games here and there. He will throw a few picks every now and then, but he will also get you back into the game. I think this game is going to be closer than expected, and I'm going to go a little bit on the favor of the Redskins. I'm going to go plus 2 on this one.
Redskins by 2 is what you say, but Vegas is has quite a different idea than us. They say Tampa Bay by 2 points right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't really understand this line, really. I mean,
now that I've heard the line, it actually makes a lot of sense to me, because I don't know if you've heard, but the Redskins just put 2 offensive linemen, Pro Bowl offensive linemen, on IR. They put Paul Richardson on IR, their wide receiver. They were winning games with Adrian Peterson in defense. So if their defense isn't as good as we thought it was, and AP has a makeshift line to run behind, you take away both their, you know, their strengths, that's going to be a struggle for them. And I think maybe they're right. Maybe Buccaneers should be favored in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, Tampa Bay, I know, like, their offense is really, really potent. I mean, they are just, if you throw in, especially in fantasy, you pick up any of their receivers, Humphreys, Godwin, Evans, all those guys are having big years. They really throw the ball well, just really can't run the ball, but they still, every game they put up like 30 points. And
yep.
Every single one, even, you know, their defense gives up 40, so that's why they have a losing record. But this game for me, I've said it, I just keep beating the dead horse. I will not bet on a Redskins game this year. And with the offensive lineman being out, I'm not touching this game. Not a game I want to bet on. So the over-under is 51.5, and the line is pretty even, plus 130 for a Washington victory, minus 150 for Tampa Bay. I've already tipped my hand. I just don't want any part of this game. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not touching this game either. I don't like the Redskins at all. I'm with you. I wouldn't bet on them. I don't know what kind of team they are. They come out one week and they look like they're going to be a playoff team, and they come out the next week and they look flat. And now they've lost offensive linemen. They're losing wide receivers. Alex Smith has not been what, you know, as advertised. Adrian Peterson is like 109 years old. Eventually he'll slow down. No thanks. I'm going to avoid this game altogether.
Very true, very true. If Adrian Peterson's 109, how old does that make you then?
No comment.
All right, well, age classified for Jeff Lambert, but I'm with you, man. I don't want to bet on this game. Fitzmagic, I really don't know what we're going to see from him. He's just so hot and cold. I don't know. We forget, like, he threw 6 picks in one game, and they still didn't take him out. So, I don't know. And I think Washington can hang in this game. It is, I think Vegas did actually nail the line pretty well. I don't know who's going to win this game, so I'm not betting it.
Yeah, Fitzmagic can go from Fitzmagic to Fitztragic really quickly. He's night and day.
Without question.
Sometimes in the same game. I think the game against the Chiefs, I believe, he had a horrible first half, and I'm like, okay, he's back to being, you know, Fitzmagic, or, you know, Fitztragic, and then he goes out in the second half and has a huge second half. So even in the same game, he's two different quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Very inconsistent there. The next game on our slate, we have a bloodbath matchup here, Jeff. They couldn't have picked two more opposite teams. We have the 2-6 Arizona Cardinals taking on the 8-1 Kansas City Chiefs. High flying Patrick Mahomes killing it right now. Arizona somehow has 2 wins. I thought that they might honestly go winless, but the 49ers have, without Jimmy G, have sort of made them able to sneak into the win column. But other than that, they're just terrible. Yeah, very true. So. Yeah, 2-6 Cardinals on the road in Kansas City. They can't make this line high enough. I said 17, KC by 17 points.
Yeah, this game is going to get ugly fast. I almost feel like the Chiefs, you know, if they're planning on resting players at the end of the season, you know, week 17, they should probably just do it now. Just rest their players in this game. They could probably still get the victory with their backups. I think the Cardinals are just that bad. There is some injury concerns. I think Sammy Watkins has got some foot issues, so that could potentially slow their offense down a little bit, but they still got Kareem Hunt and, you know, Tyreek Hill, and, of course, Mahomes himself is a weapon. Travis Kelce, I mean, the list just goes on and on. The Cardinals have no answer for them. This is going to be ugly, and I agree. I think it's probably going to be even more than 17. I'm going to go plus 18.
Yeah, Vegas, they're siding with me, though. I actually got this one right on the head. It is KC by 17 points is what I'm seeing. So in this game, Jeff, I mean, I honestly just wanted to throw their money, KC's money line in my parlay just to bump it up by 100, 200 bucks. And my bookie does not even give a line on this game because they don't want to lose money on people just throwing money at the Chiefs' money line. So they don't even give a money line. I'm sure it's in the thousands, like KC by minus 1,200, something like that. But there is just no chance, no way in hell that the Cardinals win this game. I mean, they are so bad, and they've just beaten up on the 49ers, who are also pretty bad right now without Jimmy G. So I just don't want to watch this game. The over-under is 49.5. And yeah, like I said, they don't even give money lines on it, but I'm sure it's very, very high. So I don't really know what there's nothing in this game I'm going to tease or money lines anything in this game. What about you?
Yeah, that over-under, you said, was 49.5. I think the Chiefs could probably score 49, and they still wouldn't get to 49.5. Yeah. I don't think the Cardinals could even score. So yeah, I'm not touching this game either. No thanks.
The next game on our slate, this one... Oh my God, they've just got, there's a couple just terrible games on this slate. The Buffalo Bills, 2-7, taking on the Jets, who are 3-6. So, Yeah, both just two terrible AFC East teams right here, but somebody's got to win this game. It is at home, so Sam Darnold also not playing in this game. They've given it to McCowan. Darnold has a foot issue of some sort, a sprain or something. So, I don't know. I said Jets by 4 points.
Yeah, this game is going to be really, really ugly. I do think that the Bills rookie quarterback will be back for this game, so we won't see Nathan Peterman, the debacle that he was. I actually saw on Facebook today that someone started up a GoFundMe page to get Nathan Peterman to retire. So that was pretty funny. But, yeah, this game is going to be terrible. There's nothing really good to watch in this game. It can go either way. Both defenses are actually pretty good, and both offenses are pretty terrible. Yeah, this game is going to be ugly. I will give the slight advantage to the Jets because I think they have a few more offensive pieces than the Buffalo Bills do, and I'll go Jets -3.
Whew, yeah, you. I think you and I gave very cerebral picks. I think we really broke this game down well. Unfortunately, Vegas does not think so. They say Jets by 7.5 points. Which is just,
wow.
There's no reason that the Jets should be favored by more than a touchdown against anybody. I know the Bills are bad, but the Jets.
I don't even know if they'll score a touchdown in this game, and this game's going to be terrible.
I know, right? Last week, man, the Jets had 6 points, and Darnold threw a pick six, so the Dolphins got to 13. So he gave more points up than he gave than he got for his own team last week. So.
Yeah.
Same with Peterman, man. He threw a pick six and a fumble, so there was 14 points for the Bears, and then they scored 9. So again, these teams, they just got to knee the ball and just knee the ball on every play and just punt. Terrible, terrible, terrible offenses. So terrible that I have the over/under in this game in my teaser. So I have my 13-point tease here. We already have Atlanta +9. I am doing under 49.5 points in this game. There's no way this game comes close to 50 points. This is going to be like a 14-7 game. There's just no way in hell this game gets to 50 points. The over-under straight up is 36.5, which is the lowest that I've seen all season. And that even honestly seems high. Like a third that they think it's going to be a 20-17 game. I don't see that at all. I just think it's going to be a very low-scoring game. Two very good defenses against really, really bad quarterback play. So anything in this game stick out to you?
That over-under is crazy. You said it was, what, 49? Is that what you said?
No, 37. Or 36.5.
Oh, it was 36.5. I think you said it was 49. I was like, how in the world is that the same as the Chiefs game? I got you. So 37.5 is it. Yeah, I still would go under on that. I think these teams just can't score. There's just not going to be a lot of points in this game. This could be an all field goal game.
Yeah, I should have clarified. I'm teasing it to 49.5. So it's a play
gotcha.
Of mine.
Okay.
So I teased it up to a higher number because there's no way these teams get to 50 points combined. There's just no way. So one thing I wanted to talk about with this game, since it's two. It should have been two rookie quarterbacks facing off against each other. The Ringer, Bill Simmons' site, they posted an article saying that the Jets are turning Darnold into Mark Sanchez. That was the title of the article, saying how they're this losing culture with Todd Bowles and the losing ways are going to turn him. His confidence is going to get destroyed. He's going to pick up bad habits. And I was like, Darnold's been on a bad team. All the rookie quarterbacks this year are on bad teams. Josh Rosen is on the Cardinals. They are a train wreck. Baker Mayfield, they're 2-7, basically. And then Josh Allen's Bills, they might be the worst out of all of them. They're 2-7, have won some pretty fluke games. All the rookie quarterbacks are on terrible, terrible teams. And, I mean, it's not a shock. I mean, all these teams had high draft picks, but what are your thoughts on Darnold right now? I mean, I know he's injured for this game, but he has not been good recently, but let's give him some time is my opinion on it.
Agreed. I think that you can look at Jared Goff as an example. I mean, we basically wrote him off his first season. He barely played. He couldn't get on the field. The guys playing ahead of him were terrible. The team was terrible. All of a sudden, new coach comes in, new offense gets installed, and this guy's a, you these rookie quarterbacks, because they do. They come on terrible teams. It's just the nature of the business. If you're getting a good quarterback in the draft, your team was terrible, and that's just, there's no other way around it, unless you made some crazy-ass trade to move up. But, yeah, I think you got to be patient with these guys, you know, second, third-year quarterbacks. If they're still terrible, then you're worried. But rookie season, no. And I think the way the NFL is right now, I know it used to be like, you know, sit them on the bench for a while, let them wait. It's such a big business now that they want those, you know, rookie quarterbacks out there. They're going to put seats, put fans in the seats just to watch those rookie quarterbacks play. So there's no more waiting around. It's basically throw them to the fire and hope they survive.
Absolutely. The Jared Goff, I mean, that will be a tale for years to come of how just get it. These guys are not that bad. Like, give them some time, change up the coaching staff, because Todd Bowles, very doubtful he will have a job by the end of the season as well. So they'll probably get some new guys in there next year, new coaching staff, new front office probably as well. So we'll see what happens with them. But, yeah, I do like the under. I mean, Josh Allen will be playing. There's no way that this game gets anywhere close to 50, so I've teased them in my 13-pointer, and that's probably my, honestly, out of the four legs, that is my favorite leg. I just think there's no way that this game gets to 50 points.
Yeah, I agree. That's 100% right. I don't think we can get to 37. I'd bet the under on the 37 myself.
Yeah, I like it a lot, for sure. The next game on our slate, another AFC divisional matchup. We have the 3-5 Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the 3-5 Colts themselves. It is in Indianapolis. The Colts, they've played, both of these teams are coming off byes, but they've been kind of hot recently. Their offense has been clicking. Marlon Mack's been running the ball really well. So I said the Colts by 3 points at home.
I'm going to go the opposite way, and that's because of one player, and that's Leonard Fournette, supposed to make his return. I've said it multiple times on my show, but a good running back will help your entire team. It'll help the defense because they're not on the field as much. It'll help a sort of mediocre to bad quarterback look better because they don't have to throw the ball quite as much. I think they've missed Leonard Fournette. I think he comes back. They get back to running the ball. They get back to playing really good defense. Blake Bortles stops turning the ball over and just being overall terrible. He becomes just good enough, which is all they need him to be, really, is they could run the ball. So I'm actually going to go Jacksonville favored by one over the Colts.
Yeah, I like the thinking behind it. The Fournette news probably changed the line a little bit, but right now it is still the Colts by 3.5 points, so I was off by just a half a point. Colts favored by a little more than a field goal in this one. They are at home, so let's dissect this game a little bit. The one thing for me that sticks out is the Jags are just a shit show right now. I mean, they should have been playing in the Super Bowl last year, and just six, seven, 8 months later, they're imploding. I mean, the defense has regressed, and Blake Bortles has still, they've scored, I believe, in their last three games, they've scored 28 points combined, basically averaging like 8 points a game. They just cannot score on anybody, and I know having a good defense is great, but even the best defenses give up 16, 17 points a game. So this game, for me, I'm not going to have any bets in it. I don't know what we're going to see in this divisional matchup, because the Colts' defense isn't very good either, and their offense has been sort of hit or miss this year. Yeah, what are your thoughts? Do you have any bets in this game? What do you think we're going to see in this one?
Well, just saying that I was going with Jacksonville being favored, I could definitely see myself taking Jacksonville in this one, because I do think that they get back to playing good defense. Just a few examples of a running back coming back to make the defense better. The New Orleans Saints this year, of course, had Mark Ingram, who's more of their true running back. I know they have Alvin Kamara. He's all world, but he's more of a, you know, pass catcher out of the backfield than he is a grinded type runner. Of course, Mark Ingram comes back and the Saints defense is suddenly good again. And, you know, I've seen that a couple of times this year. I think Joe Mixon, when he's out for the Bengals for those couple games, the Bengals defense wasn't very good. The Browns defense looks better now that they can run the ball with Nick Chubb. I mean, it just goes on and on. These guys, these teams that can run the ball, their defense just looks better. Redskins, I mean, Adrian Peterson, when he's getting those 100 yards, the Redskins defense looks almost unbeatable. And then, of course, they don't run the ball the next game, and, you know, they get bumped up by 38 points. So I think Fournette makes all the difference in the world. As long as he's healthy,
again, my Vikings. Delvin Cook was back last week, and the defense got 10 sacks. So very, very good point. I'm all in on your theory about the defenses. They go hand-in-hand with the running backs, man. If you can run the ball, chew some clock, you know. And then, of course, a team like Tampa Bay, who can only throw the ball, they score 30 points a game, but their defense still gives up 40 points because it's just a high-pace game. So no bets in this game for me. The over-under is 46.5, Indy minus 145, Jacksonville plus 125 for the victory. And just one more thing to mention before we move on is I believe A.J. Boye is out for this game for Jacksonville. He's, of course, a Pro Bowl corner, so that kind of worries me. But I'm on the same boat with you. If I had to gun to my head, I think Jacksonville turns it around off the bye week and gets this victory. So we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a division game, so you never know what's going to happen. But I just don't see how the Jaguars come out of a bye week with a healthy Leonard Fournette and lose this game.
Yeah, also Blake Bortles, I mean, you see it all the time. Quarterbacks playing in a dome is just so much better for them. So I think Bortles in a dome could possibly turn it around against a Colts defense that isn't very good as well. So in the next game on our slate, got a lot of division matchups this week. The 3-5 Detroit Lions going into Chicago against the 5-3 Bears. The Bears, of course, have sort of been the surprise team this year. They just absolutely hammered Buffalo last week. They had me sweating, man. They've had me sweating several times when I bet on the over-unders in their games, because their defense just locks down the other team, so I usually take the under, and their offense isn't very good. But Peterman was so bad last week that the defense got, like, I think 14 or 21 points just from pick sixes, turnovers. So they were able to score 41, but they luckily held Buffalo to 9, so my under hit, which was nice. But Detroit, 3-5, they are coming off a terrible showing in Minnesota last week. 10 sacks for the Vikings last week. Stafford probably had a shitty Monday morning the next week. He was just getting hit all over the place. So it is in Chicago. Detroit looks terrible. The Bears look to be a pretty force in the NFC now. I guess I'm finally admitting that they're kind of good. So I don't want to admit it because they're in my division and they've been awful for years, and I don't think Trubisky's good, but it looks like they probably will sneak in as a wild card or win this division. So I said Bears by 5.5 at home.
Yeah, I think the Detroit Lions sort of underestimated the value of Golden Tate to Matthew Stafford. He looked kind of lost. I think that's why those 10 sacks happened. Tate was sort of his outlet, his hot route, so to speak. Whenever he was in trouble, he hit Golden Tate on a short play. Golden Tate always led the league in yard after catch. He'd make things out of nothing. So I think they kind of underestimated the value of Golden Tate there. So I think the Lions, are looking pretty bad right now, giving up 10 sacks, and I got some more bad news from Matthew Stafford. Khalil Mack was a full practice participant today, so Khalil Mack will likely be back for this game, so this has got ugly written all over it. I think the Bears dominate the Lions here in Chicago, and I don't think it's close. I think I'm going to go with Bears for my 7.
Very nice guess, Jeff. It is Bears by a touchdown in Vegas right now. Chicago by 7. So, yeah, it sounds like you're really high on Chicago this week. I like it a lot. The one thing I wanted to talk about, surprisingly, it's not going to be about Chicago. I wanted to talk about the Lions here for a sec. Now, in the NBA, we always talk about, you and I, big NBA fans, I always talk about treadmill teams like the Pacers, the Pistons. The Clippers have been one several years in a row, and it's teams that are good enough to be like 500, but not bad enough to get a high draft pick. And so, like, and my Timberwolves have been one for a long time too with Kevin Love. They never made the playoffs with them, but they never got like a top five pick out of it. So the Lions in the NFL are just a classic fit the mold for that team. They have Stafford, and he'll get you to like 7 or 8 wins, but they've made the playoffs like once or twice with him, and they lost in the first round each time. So, like, I don't know what they're doing right now. They're 3-5. They just sold Golden Tate, so they're kind of throwing the white flag up on the season. I don't know what the Lions do. This division is, they are fucked, man. This division has the Vikings, the Packers, the Bears are good now. So, like, if you're a Lions fan, like, I pray for you, man. But, like, I don't know what the blueprint is. Like, Stafford isn't a good enough quarterback to win playoff games, and now they're 3-5. The defense isn't good. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do. They're one of the more confusing teams in the league right now. What are your thoughts on the Lions, and where do they go from here?
I think the Lions kind of do this to us every year, like you said. I think they're going to make a run late in the season. They're either going to just make the playoffs or just miss the playoffs. But they'll have a good end of the season. We'll go into next year all excited about the Lions again. They'll be a dark horse team to make the playoffs. And it happens all the time. They always have this late run where they look like they're really good. And unfortunately, they always dig themselves a deep hole and they can't pull themselves out of it. I think the coaching here has been sort of suspect. I think they've got a great rookie running back, Kerryon Johnson, that they refuse to give the ball to. They keep putting in guys like LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick. And they just kind of tip their hand. When you put Theo Riddick in the game, okay, you're not running the ball. You're going to pass the ball with Theo Riddick in there.
Yep.
Oh, Kerryon Johnson's in there? Okay, you're going to run the ball. Oh, with LeGarrette Blount in there? All right, we're going to just clog the middle because he ain't going to be running outside the numbers. So it's like they tip their hand. I just don't get it. I just don't understand what they're doing. And this is not a new thing for the Lions. I mean, this is why Barry Sanders retired early. This is why Megatron, Calvin Johnson, retired early.
Yep.
The Lions just can't ever put it together, and it's sad to watch because I think they've got a lot of talent there. They just can't put it together.
Not sure if you watch Colin Cowherd at all, but there was a several weeks ago the Lions were like 2-2 or something like that, 2-3, and he flashed some stats comparing the Browns and the Lions, not over the last 20 years, but the last 30 years of those Detroit teams in the 90s, and there's a case to be made that the more embarrassing franchise overall is the Lions. That I know, of course, the last 18 years the Browns have been atrocious and a train wreck, but over the last 30 years the Lions have gone 0-16. They've wasted the best years of Megatron, and just I think they have a worse record over the last 30 years than the Browns do. So
I believe it.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I just don't know what they're doing. I mean, Stafford, they already paid him big money, so it's not like he's on a rookie deal. They can't really sign free agents as well as they'd like to. So a mini rant by there on the Lions, but they're going to be the bottom feeders of this division for a long time. So I don't like anything in this game, really. The over-under is 45. Detroit plus 230 to win. Chicago minus 290. Don't really like anything there. It should be a relatively tight game, I think. I don't think it's going to be as big of a bloodbath as you think, but I don't know. Nothing sticks out to me in this game. What about you?
Yeah, it's a division game. You never really can tell. I just think that, you know, if the Lions give up, you know, 10 sacks again to the Bears, I mean, Khalil Mack's back, you know, he's my co-host had a funny stat on the Raiders, just going back to them, that the Raiders over the last two games have the same amount of sacks that Khalil Mack has in his last two games, and he didn't play in those two games. So just a funny stat that the Raiders haven't had a sack in two games. But getting back to Khalil Mack, he's, you know, playing fantasy, even though he's missed the last two games, he's still a top five defensive player as far as total points, even missing those two games, to show you how dominant he's been this year with his, you know, sacks, and he's knocking passes down at the line of scrimmage. And I mean, he's a monster, and he makes his defense go. The defense is good without him. With him, they're unstoppable. I think Matt Stafford's going to be in for a long day, and I think that the Bears could put up 14 points on the defensive side, and then the offense puts up their points. I think this can be more than a touchdown game.
Yeah, I can see it for sure. Detroit is just, after the Minnesota game, I mean, there's just no hope for them right now. They are 3-5. In our season preview podcast, I said you should take the under on Detroit was at 8, and I just did not see them getting 8, especially if Stafford got hurt. And if they keep giving up 10 sacks a game, he's going to get hurt, and they're going to be really, really bad, because he's been the reason that team has got to 9-10 wins here in the last several years. The next game on our slate, this one, looking at all the matchups, I think this one's my favorite on the slate. We have the 7-1 New Orleans Saints taking on the Bengals of Cincinnati. They are 5-3 as well. Playing at home in Cincinnati there. New Orleans, they, in most power rankings, ESPN, Bleacher Report, the Saints are now the number one team in the NFL, according to most experts. They just had a great win against the Rams, beat them by 10 at home. Very big statement win. They also beat my Vikings several weeks ago, so they look like the team to beat in the NFC. Cincinnati started off hot, 4-1, but they've dropped to 5-3. But they're still in the playoff hunt for a wild card, maybe even the division. So I said New Orleans coming in hot, New Orleans by 6 points.
Yeah, I think the Saints traditionally are not a good road team. Drew Brees especially been a good road quarterback. But with their run game, the way they have it set up now with Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara there, and then their defense basically coming into their own, I do think that they're a better road team now. When you can run the ball and play good defense on the road, you always will be a better team. The Bengals' biggest issue, I think, is going to be the absence of A.J. Green. I know that they got Tyler Boyd there, had a great season so far, but he plays mainly out of the slot, meaning he doesn't see the opposing team's top cornerback. Without A.J. Green, I expect him to move to the outside, which means he's going to see a lot of Lattimore, who's the all-world cornerback for the Saints, which basically takes away Andy Dalton's top receiving option. Behind Boyd, they don't have much. I think Gio Bernard's back for this game. You know, Joe Mixon's a pretty good receiving back out of the backfield, but there's no more downfield threat. I think that hurts the Bengals. The Saints play excellent, excellent run defense. If you watch that Rams game, they shut down Gurley on the ground at least. He got his, yards through the pass, but on the ground they shut him down. So I think they can shut down Mixon. They're going to force Andy Dalton to beat them. I don't think they're going to be able to beat them. I think the Saints actually probably a plus eight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, minus eight.
Vegas actually kind of siding with me on this one. They have New Orleans by 5 points on the road. So,
wow.
Yeah, a little surprising there, I think, but I went high with six, and then you said eight, but I think the Bengals can probably sneak out a win. I don't know why. It's at home. I know you said A.J. Green is out for this game, but I don't know. I get a little bit of trappiness from this game, so let's dissect it a little bit. The Saints, man, they've just been fantastic in recent weeks. They started off slow. They almost blew that game. They were going to be 0-2, losing to the Browns and the Bucks, but they figured it out. So just the addition of Ingram back in the lineup has been huge for them. Their defense has looked really, really good the last several weeks, and they look to honestly be a lock for the NFC Championship game right now. So the over-under is 54. New Orleans minus 260 for a victory. Cincinnati plus 215. Anything you like in this one, or do you think the Saints are going to blow them out?
I think it'll be a blowout, but not to the fourth quarter. I think that the Bengals can hang a little bit. I think Dalton eventually makes the big mistake, tries to force a pass where he shouldn't be forcing it, throws a pick. So I think the Saints will come out on top in the fourth quarter. I don't think I'm going to put anything on that. I think if A.J. Green was available, I might like that over-under to go over. I do think this game will be high-scoring. These are both, high-scoring flying offenses, both tops in the league as far as what they do. And they both got tons of weapons, but I do think that the Saints' defense is better than the Bengals' defense, and I think that's ultimately what the difference is going to be.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They're over under 54. That is the highest on this 12-game slate. So, yeah, I can see. I think this is going to be a fun one. Like I said, it's my favorite matchup of the week. I think, the New Orleans defense, they still gave up over 30 points last week. So I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this one. A nice game to stack if you're playing daily fantasy. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a high flying, but this game's too much of a toss up. I don't like the line a lot. So I don't know what we're going to see from a spread perspective in this one. I could see it going either way.
Yeah, agreed.
The next game we're going to be talking about, the 7-2 Patriots taking on the Titans, who are 4-4. The Titans coming off a nice win in Dallas. They got down in that game 7-0, but yet they came back. They won 28-14. Mariota played really well. The defense played fantastic. Held Zeke to under 60 yards, so that was a nice win for them. They're sort of looking for a wild card spot. We'll see. And then the Patriots, of course, took care of business against the Packers. I had the Packers plus 19 in the tees last week. They kind of made me sweat a little with a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They got the ball back. Thought maybe they'd go up 21, but they showed mercy and need the ball there at the end, even though they were in Green Bay territory. So Tennessee, you know, they've struggled in recent weeks besides last week, but they came off the bye nicely. I said the Patriots by 7 points in this one.
Yeah, the Titans did look better coming out of the bye week, and I'm going to go ahead and just say it now. I said it on my podcast on Tuesday, and I'll say it again on my podcast on Friday. Hopefully after the weekend, I'm proved correct. This will be the Corey Davis breakout game. He's had some terrible, terrible, terrible matchups. He basically has played the top 10 cornerbacks the whole season. Every matchup he's had has been one of the top 10 cornerbacks in the league, including last week. I think this is his breakout game, but it won't be enough to beat the Patriots. The Patriots are just too good, even if Gronk doesn't play in this game. I believe Sonny Michel will be back. He's their star rookie running back. I think he comes back. The Titans got a pretty good defense, but I think the Patriots figure that defense out. And I'm with you, actually. I'm right on the same with you with seven points as a spread for this one for me.
Vegas very, very close to us and our thinking. They have New England by 6.5 points in this one. Now, every week I give my trap game of the week, Jeff, and this one, so many signs point to it, man. This is my trap game of the week. Matt Sandell puts a stamp on it. I've been really good at calling him this year, and so I think the Titans win this game. That's just my thinking. I'm not going to put a bet on it. But there's a lot of revenge game aspects in this one. You got Malcolm Butler coming back to take on Belichick, of course, benched in the Super Bowl. Vrabel was a former Patriot, played under Belichick. He is now the coach of the Titans. And then, of course, these two teams met up in the playoffs last year. So maybe Titans think that they can put together a better showing this year against them. And then Deion Lewis of the Titans, also a former Patriot, former Super Bowl champ with them. So there's a lot of revenge game on both sides here. So I think the Titans actually, Mariota running around, finding Corey Davis, maybe Derrick Henry gets going, finally gotten into the end zone last week. I know he's probably been the biggest bust in fantasy this year. I think the Titans win this game. I honestly do. I just don't see. I think New England 7-2, they've won like 5 or 6 straight. I think they finally drop one here to the Titans. That's just my thoughts. What do you think?
I don't think there's any way the Patriots lose this game. I think it will be a tight game. I do think, like I said, Corey Davis breaks out this game. I think he'll have a good game. There's a stat that I have on the Titans defense, speaking of Malcolm Butler. They've given up, I believe, 14 touchdowns total on the season. 7 of those have been given up by Malcolm, so he is not what he was, but he's with the Patriots. There's a reason why he was benched last year in the Super Bowl. He's just been blowing coverages. He blew one last week against Dallas. Left, I believe it was Michael Gallup, I believe, wide open. I could be wrong on the receiver, but just basically got totally juked out on the route and left him wide open in the end zone, which you just can't do as a cornerback, especially when you're the only one back there. So I do think the Patriots will pick on Malcolm. They are vindictive like that. They will just basically target him the entire game. They'll line up everybody they could possibly line up on his side of the ball and just keep picking on him. And I don't think he'll be able to withstand it. I think the Patriots do take this game quite handily.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Twitter videos and a lot of talking heads in sports on ESPN. Bleacher Report have shown videos and stats about how bad Malcolm has been this year. He's just been terrible, and of course they paid him big money, and he is basically, one stat I looked at, I forget the exact number, but it basically pointed to him being virtually the worst cover cornerback in the league right now, according to this metric that they looked at. So, you know, I could see it, but I don't know. I think Tennessee can pick apart that defense. I think Vrabel, he knows Belichick. He played under him. He knows his scheme. So I think that this game, a lot of revenge game narrative on both sides. So I think the Titans do end up winning this. This is my trap game of the week. So the over-under is 46.5. Tennessee plus 225 for the victory. New England, of course, heavy favorites, minus 300. So do you like New England to go over 7 points here, or are you just going to chalk this one as a stay away?
Yeah, I'm staying away from this one. There's too many revenge narratives that can go in different directions. I think if there was a prop bet for Corey Davis over under 100 yards, I'd take the over on that one, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'm sure his over-under is probably somewhere around like 55. Speaking of terrible receiver prop bets, mine last week, Jeff, if I ever do this again, if I ever put a receiver who is getting the ball thrown to him by Brock Osweiler, just talk me out of it, dude. Why did I think that Brock Osweiler was gonna give fucking Devontae Parker 60 yards? He had one catch for 8 yards. Terrible, terrible.
Even beyond Brock Osweiler, what made you think that Devontae Parker would get that? I mean, he had that one big game in like 3 years. So I don't know. That was just bad overall.
Yeah, that was not my proudest bet on this podcast, but I thought he was a big fantasy DFS. He was very high owned against the Jets.
He was.
So he busted very, very badly. One catch for not even 10 yards. So, yeah, never playing an Osweiler receiver ever again in prop bets. The next game on the slate we're going to be talking about, another potential bloodbath game. We have the 6-2 Chargers taking on the Raiders of Oakland, soon to be of Vegas. Tanking, of course, is a big thing in the NBA. Of course, some teams this year, like the Knicks and the Hawks, it looks like they're trying to lose games. I mean, they don't have any belief in the season this year. And it doesn't really happen in the NFL. I mean, these are very prideful guys. There's only 16 games. The NFL, of course, doesn't want to see that in this very small schedule. But I think out of all the teams in the league, Oakland is actually, after the 49ers game, I'm like, they don't want to win. They just don't want to win games anymore. So they are 1-7, soon to be 1-8 after this game. They just look to not want to win football games. Now, it is a division matchup, but I said Chargers by 13 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. The Raiders just gave up on the season, and I don't think it's just the players. I think the coaches actually have kind of thrown in the towel as well. Even Gruden himself, I think that he is tanking. He won't come out and say it, obviously. He'll look pissed off on the sidelines. But the telltale sign to me is when they were actually down in that game versus the 49ers. Typically, when you're down, you put your passing running back in the game. You throw a bunch of passes short to him. You get people open down the field. You're throwing constantly. That's not what happened. They were running Doug Martin, Mr. I'm going to go 3 yards and fall down, Doug Martin. They kept running him in the fourth quarter. I don't know why. Then they ended up just putting in A.J. McCarron in the fourth quarter. They threw in the towel so early in that game. That doesn't happen in the NFL very much. It's becoming painfully obvious the Raiders have kind of given up. Another telltale sign, too, was on that Raheem Mostert 52-yard touchdown. If you watch the Raiders defensive players, once he got past the line of scrimmage, everyone stopped running. Like, literally, there was no one running at him. He was all by himself. There was one guy back. It was just ugly, and I don't think there's any chance the Raiders win another game this season. I don't know who they even beat this year with that one victory. I can't remember who they beat, but whoever it was must feel sick right now because they're just terrible. The Chargers, I'm with you. I think Chargers by 14.
Yeah, the one win they did have was against the Browns. No shock there. They did win by 3 points. But, the Chargers, basically this year, everybody's team to break out and be a surprise team, and that's actually come true. They've been really good this year, and it looks like another cupcake game for them here. So Vegas, not given as much respect, probably because the Chargers are playing on the road in a division game. They say Chargers by 10.5 points right now. So, we're a little high, but again, blowout potential here, absolutely. Now, there's just any team, every single week. I've been picking on teams this year like the Bills and the Browns recently, and then the 49ers as well. But teams that play these tanking teams, I mean, it's just, the Oakland is the new team now. I'm going to be betting every single money line against Oakland, and I have the Chargers money line in my $1,000 parlay this week. So it is Chargers minus 500. and then I'll have another one in the next game we're talking about. So Chargers, there's just no way. They're so much better. Gruden has just been a train wreck there so far. And again, a big thing, they have 5 first-round picks over the next 2 years. So there's no reason for them, no incentive to win games right now. There's no way Derek Carr is going to be there next year. So I just, they're all signs point to an easy win for the Chargers in this one.
100% agree. I think you just said, and if I'm betting anything, I'm betting Chargers. The money line, like you said, Chargers aren't losing this game. There's no way.
The over-under is 50 points. Like I said, Chargers minus 500 for the victory. Oakland plus 410. Gruden clearly wants to tank and take this team to Vegas with sort of rejuvenated. They have 3 first-round picks next year thanks to the Amari Cooper trade. So there's just Oakland has no incentive to win right now. They just want a high draft pick, it seems. The season has not gone as they had hoped. So I really like the Chargers in this game. So I'm throwing their money line in a parlay.
All right, yeah, I agree there, 100%.
The next game on our slate, another Los Angeles team. We got the Rams at home, 8-1, taking on Seattle, 4-4. The Rams, of course, I looked over their schedule. Me and Ben, a couple weeks ago, we read through their schedule, and I said I truly believe that they are going to go 16-0. But I said the one game that I am worried about is taking on the Saints on the road, and that actually came true. The Rams were favored at the end of the week, but they lost that game, so they no incentive to play their starters in week 17 now. So the Rams 8-1, still high flying, still playing very good football as of late. Seattle, they've actually been kind of a surprise. I thought they'd be pretty shitty this year, but they're 4-4 now, sort of hovering around a wild card spot maybe in the NFC. So it is at the Rams, so I said Los Angeles by 10.
Yeah, the Seahawks have been better than I thought they were going to be, and this division in general has been sort of kind of weird when you look at this division over the years. It seems like the really good teams tend to lose to the bad team in that division. I know when the Niners were really good, we always lost to the Rams. I think the Seahawks lost to the Rams a few times when they were having their Super Bowl runs. I don't think it's going to happen here. I don't think the Seahawks find a way to upset the Rams, especially being in L.A. If it was in Seattle, maybe. I think the Rams come in angry after their loss. I think they basically just run roughshod over the Seahawks. The Seahawks want to be a running team. They want to run the ball, you know, a lot. They're actually the number one running team in the NFL right now as far as plays. You know, they run more run plays than any other team. I just don't see any way that they can do that on the Rams. The Rams are going to throw the ball all over the field in this team. And I think the Rams, I actually had the Rams by 10 as well.
You, me, and Vegas all in the same boat. It is Rams by 10. 100%, you and I hit it right on the head. Classic 10 in a division game. The Rams are just an extremely good football team, well coached. So, like I said, I have a Los Angeles Moneyline parlay this week. Both of the Los Angeles teams, Rams and Chargers, $1,000 wins you $445. So I like the return on that is pretty good. I just, both teams are playing in heavily favored games. I just do not see the Chargers losing. There's no chance of that. And then the Rams, I think, will sneak out a win here at home. And in a game that both of these teams do not like each other, and they usually play pretty close. Especially in the game earlier in the year, Seattle almost won that game. So I do think the Rams take care of business, though. Russell Wilson did not look great against the Chargers last week. So the over-under is 50 points, which also seems low. I forgot that I have this in the game as well. 50 points for both of these offenses. I don't get that. I thought it would be closer to 54, 55 over-under, especially with any game the Rams are playing in. They can put up 37 in a heartbeat. So I have 2 plays in this game that completes my $300 13-point teaser. I'm bumping the Rams from minus 10 to plus 3, and then the over-under of 50 I am bumping down to 37, so it just has to be a 20-17 game. The Rams, like we said, they can put up 35 just on their own, so as long as Seattle gets a touchdown, I don't think this is going to be one that I need to sweat out. So over 37 in this game, the over-under is very, very confusing to me. I thought it'd be a lot higher. What do you think?
Yeah, the over-under definitely is confusing to me. I think this will be a little bit more high scoring. I think because it's a division game, maybe they thought it'd be a little bit lower. It wouldn't shock me if Seattle did pull out a victory here. I was looking at their history, and it was actually a couple years ago that the Rams, you know, the Seahawks came to the Rams. The Seahawks were division leaders. The Rams were terrible. They still had Jeff Fisher as a coach. They found a way to beat Seattle. So, this, like you said, this rivalry goes back a ways. They don't like each other at all. It wouldn't shock me if the Seahawks found a way to win this game, but I do still think the Rams take it quite handily, so I'm not going to put anything on this game.
Absolutely. The Rams, every game, I usually, throughout the weeks we've done this podcast and just all season long, I usually have the Rams in some sort of facet, either as a money line or a teaser candidate. And whenever I check their box score on the ESPN app, like, they'll be down like 14-0, and I'm like, oh damn, is this the week? And then I check the box score like 5 minutes later, and it's like 21-14. Like, the Rams just always their offense is so potent, and especially in the Seattle game earlier this year, the Seahawks, I kept updating it on my phone. The Seahawks would always be up by 7. 3 minutes later, the game would be tied, and so the Rams just always keep it close. Even in this this last week, the Rams Saints game, I mean, they were down 24 at one point, I believe. Maybe it was 17, but they were able to tie the game up later in the fourth quarter. So they're always in it no matter what. Their offense is just so potent. So there's no way that this game does not hit over 37, in my opinion. The next game we're going to be looking at, another, damn, there's a ton of division games this week. The 4-4 Dallas Cowboys taking on the 4-4 Philadelphia Eagles. So it is in Philadelphia. They've suffered one of the worst Super Bowl hangovers I've seen in recent memory. They started Nick Foles the first 2 weeks. They lost to Minnesota. They need to take some aspirin in the morning, man. They have a huge hangover from the Super Bowl last year. So Dallas again. They were favored by a touchdown. We talked last week, me and Zach. We laughed, Jeff, at that spread. They were favored by 7 against Tennessee. We were like, that's incredibly dumb. I didn't have a bet on it, but I was just like, why would they ever be favored by a touchdown? It's the Cowboys with Jason Garrett. They've been terrible this year. So I said Philadelphia by 3.5 points.
Yeah, another division game, hard to predict. Cowboys going to the Eagles. Jason Garrett, last week's play calling was just terrible. I think Ezekiel Elliott had over 100 total yards in the first half last game, and then in the second half had 6 total touches, which they just forgot about him. Like, how do you forget about your best player? I don't understand how that happens. And it wasn't like they were getting blown out. They were in that game. They're actually leading at one point, and they just forgot about Ezekiel Elliott. I don't understand it. The Eagles' defense is pretty good, especially against the run. So they can, you know, maybe not stop Zeke. They can slow him down a little bit. And if they're going to force Dak Prescott to beat them, I like the chances the Eagles definitely get this victory. They've been playing better lately. Carson Wentz is finally looking like the guy that he got, you know, before he got hurt last year. So I think that the Eagles, with their new Golden Tate, you know, their new piece to the puzzle there, I like them. Because it's a division game, I'm going to go 3.5.
You and me on the same page here, but Vegas, they don't agree. They think Dallas is really bad. They said Philly by 6 points in this one. I don't blame them, honestly. Sounds about right, honestly. I mean, I went a little low since it was a division game. Dallas usually plays the Eagles pretty well. Even last year, they played them pretty tough at home. So, yeah, the one thing I wanted to talk about in this game, and I'm glad that we have fantasy expert Jeff on the podcast to help me out, As a Golden Tate fantasy owner who was pissed that he went on bye last week, what do you think we're going to see from Tate in that offense? What do you think? How do you think they're going to use him? Do you think his stock goes up that he's on the Eagles now?
I think his stock goes up only because the Eagles' offense is a better offense. I think Golden Tate basically becomes Nelson Aguilar. So if you're a Nelson Aguilar owner, you're crying right now because Tate basically takes away anything that he ever had. He has no value now to me at all. I think Golden Tate is a much better player. Obviously, like I said, leads the league pretty much every year in yards after the catch. 100 receptions pretty much every year that he's been in the league. You know, he's just that guy. I think that he's a perfect complement to this offense with Alshon Jeffrey running the deep routes. You got Zach Ertz over the middle. You got even Dallas Goedert or Goddard, however you say his name. He's a pretty decent tight end. As a, you know, they go two double tight ends. This offense is going to be really good, and Golden Tate just adds to it. As a fantasy owner, I'd be happy that he's with the Eagles. I think he gets more touchdowns here than he would have in the Lions offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. And even in the Lions offense, I mean, they had Galladay there and Marvin Jones, and yet he still was putting up great fantasy numbers several weeks ago.
Yep.
And so he's definitely been helping my team this year, absolutely. But I just worry that there's Ertz there in the red zone, and then, of course, Aguilar and Jeffrey there on the outside. I'm the one thing about the Eagles, the trade deadline just passed, they made a move for a receiver. Why didn't they go out and get a running back? Smallwood and I forget who else is there. It's Smallwood and Corey Clement.
Corey Clement.
They've been pretty bad recently. So I don't know why they didn't get a running back to fill the void of Jay Ajayi, but they went out and got Tate instead. Maybe they're going to throw him in the backfield a couple times. We've seen that with Randall Cobb, and then Tate used to be sometimes right next to Matthew Stafford there once in a while in Detroit, so maybe he gets a couple touches there, I don't know. But they did not get a running back. That was kind of confusing to me. The running game with both of those guys is just not great.
I think they almost are going to use Golden Tate, not as a running back necessarily, but he'll be the guy catching that, you know, that screen play or that quick hitter off the line of scrimmage to almost be like a running play. I think that they couldn't get the running back that they wanted, so they got, you know, they got what they got, Corey Clement, Smallwood. I think they had their rookie last week did pretty good. Allen, can't think of his first name. But they can't run the ball. They said, okay, we can't get a good running back, so let's go ahead and get Golden Tate, who basically, with the way he runs his routes, is like a running back as far as the yards that he'll get for you. He'll take that 1 yard catch off the line of scrimmage and take it for 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. Sometimes he'll break one. So I think they'll use him like a sort of modern day running game.
Yeah, we'll see how they use him. I just don't know. There's a lot of other guys that they have to get the ball to, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not too high on the move. I'm not sure what to think, but we'll see what happens come Sunday. We'll see how they use him. But, you know, we saw it with Amari Cooper last week for people playing DFS. They just got this – Carson Wentz just got this new toy, Golden Tate. I think he gets a touchdown this week because, you know, they sort of want to show him off to the fans, get him involved early. Amari Cooper got a touchdown in, like, the first 5 minutes of the game last week. So I think he can get in the end zone this week for sure.
Yep, agreed. I think he will.
The over-under in this game is 43. Of course, Philly plus 2 – or minus 330 for the victory. Dallas plus 270. The one thing before we move on, I was pretty surprised that Jason Garrett was not let go this last Monday. I mean, that was a brutal loss by 2 touchdowns to a Tennessee team that has lost 3 straight. There's no reason that Jason Garrett needs to be coaching the Cowboys right now. But Jerry Jones has backed him and Prescott. Prescott, another guy who had a terrible week last week. What do you think? Are you kind of surprised they didn't let Garrett go?
I am surprised. I thought after I heard the stat that Zeke had 6 touches in the second half, I thought, okay, he's got to be gone. There's no way you could do that with that offense and those receivers. You know, you got Ezekiel Elliott back there. You give him the ball. I don't care if he goes, you know, 1 yard, 1 yard, 1 yard. You keep handing the ball off because eventually he'll break that 50-yarder. And they just stopped using him. I mean, that first half, that first quarter, you know, they looked great. They moved the ball down the field. They scored on their first possession. And they got the turnover, and they could have scored again, but Zach threw an interception in the red zone. Why wasn't Zeke getting the ball? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense to me. I think Garrett needs to be gone. I think he needs to be gone before this year. I think he needs to be gone before this. So it's long overdue. He's the Hugh Jackson of the league right now.
Yeah, for sure. I could not agree more. You know, it's you see it with guys like Harbaugh, Mike McCarthy, coaches who won a Super Bowl or had a very good year. Of course, the Cowboys went 14-2 several years ago when both Zeke and Dak were rookies. And, you know, that's sort of gotten him through all this, is that, you know, hey, this guy coached a team to to almost a perfect season 1 year. Like, it can't be that bad. So I think that that finally is, it's the time's running out on that. I think he should be gone before the season. But from a better...
Agreed. I think,
go ahead.
I think Jeff Fisher built an entire career off that one Super Bowl run for the Titans. So it's kind of true that, you know, they do that one time and they have a career for themselves.
Exactly. Now, from a betting perspective in this game, I don't like anything. I mean, I can see Philly possibly throwing him in a money line, but Dallas has actually been a pretty tough team to bet against this year. I mean, they beat Jacksonville in a huge upset game. They won by 33 points against the Jags, who are favored. They lost. I don't know. Dallas is kind of a weird team this year. They'll show up and they're just very inconsistent. So they'll show up 1 week, then they'll be back to their old selves the next. So this might be a game where they sort of rally the troops and possibly, I mean, again, these teams do not like each other. It's Dallas week in Philadelphia. So I don't know. I'm not betting on this game. It's a division matchup. Nothing for me. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. It's division matchup. Like you said, it is Dallas week. You know, I live in Washington, D.C. When Dallas comes to this town, it's pretty much the same thing. It's Dallas week. It doesn't matter with how good they are or how good the Redskins are. It's Dallas coming to town. It's a big deal. It's the same thing in Philly. They hate the Cowboys as much as the Redskins hate the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are going to come in there, and you know they are. They're a hard out. So I don't think that they're just going to come in and lay down for the Eagles. So I think it'll be a tough fought game. I think the Eagles win, but I'm not putting any money on it.
The next game on our slate, we have the 5-4. Somehow 5-4. Not sure how we got here. Brock Osweiler led Miami Dolphins taking on the Packers, who have a losing record now. They are 3-4-1 after the Patriots game. It is in Lambeau, so of course that bumps it up by about 3 or 4 points. So I don't know. The Packers have just not been the same this year. Their division is really good with the Vikings and now Bears coming on as a potential perennial playoff team now. So I said Green Bay favored by 5.5.
Yeah, the Packers have been kind of disappointing overall. I think that, you know, when you got Aaron Rodgers, you expect to pull some of those games out that they couldn't. They've been somewhat dysfunctional. We had that whole Ty Montgomery scenario where coaches told him that he needed to kneel the ball down in the end zone. He didn't. He came out, he fumbled it. They lost that game. So they traded him away immediately after that. The Packers are hard to figure out. I think they're one of those teams that, you know, they don't have an identity right now. They're kind of in the middle of an identity crisis. You know, their receivers can't stay healthy. They just put Geronimo Allison on IR. They got a few rookie receivers there that Rodgers hasn't worked with a lot, so maybe he can't build that chemistry. And then the other side, the Dolphins are the same way. You can't really figure them out either. You don't know what they are. They're 5-4. It's hard to believe they're 5-4, and the Packers are 3-4-1. The Dolphins kind of benefit from having the Bills and the Jets in their division, so that kind of helped them a little bit, whereas the Packers have the Vikings and the Bears, and the worst team is the Lions, who actually can be decent at times. I don't like this game at all. I don't like when teams like this that don't play often against each other, you know, being an AFC-NFC team. I don't know the last time that the Packers have played the Dolphins, but I feel like it's probably been a while. I'm going to take the Packers. It's a tough one. I think the Packers, I'm going to go Packers by 5.
So we've been doing this podcast eight weeks now, and usually I'm relatively close. Sometimes I hit it right on the head. Usually I'm just a point or two off. This might be the worst guess I've had on the podcast. I don't know what Vegas is thinking here, but they have Green Bay blowing them out by 10.5 points right now in Vegas. I don't know. I don't know how. Of course, my spread pick was incredibly off. I was off by 5 points. I don't know how we got to Green Bay being favored by almost 2 touchdowns against Miami. Miami has 5-4. They have a winning record. The Packers have a losing record. I understand that it's at home.
Yep.
But like you said, the receivers that Rodgers throwing to, St. Brown and like Valdez Scantling, these guys I've never heard of before. And so I don't get why they deserve almost 11 points against a team with a winning record. I don't get this line at all. When that is the case, I completely stay away from it. I have no idea what we're going to see. I definitely have Green Bay favored by a bit, like maybe a touchdown, but 10.5 is generous to say the least. What do you think?
I think with that 10.5 line, I might put some money on the Dolphins here to meet that, because I don't know, that 10.5 is that's steep. I don't know if the Packers have even blown anybody out that by that much this year.
I think the reasoning behind it is Osweiler on the road, I guess, is the only reason that they would have this line be like that. But again, I don't. Miami's run game has been pretty decent this year, I guess, and their defense is actually really, really good. So I don't know how we got here, but yeah, Green Bay by 10.5 points in Vegas. The over/under is 47.5. Green Bay's money line -530. Maybe even if you really think if the Packers are this big train wreck, Miami +400 for the victory. So coming into the road, you never know really what happens in these AFC-NFC matchups like this. Like you said, they haven't played probably in the last 3 or 4 years. So I don't know what to do with this game. Do you kind of like Miami though?
I think I do. I mean, not to win the game, but to at least be close enough that they don't hit that 10.5. And people don't know this, but the Dolphins have a lockdown corner, one of the best corners in the game. Xavier Howard can actually lock down Davante Adams. I think he still will be Davante Adams. He'll still be a good receiver, but he will definitely slow him down, forcing Rodgers to throw to guys like you said, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimous St. Brown. I mean, these are guys that are like rookies this year that he's having to throw to. They do still have Jimmy Graham there. But if they take away Davante Adams, I don't know what Rodgers is going to do. I mean, I guess Scantling has been pretty good these past few weeks, but still, I don't know if that's enough for them to blow out the Dolphins by more than 10 points.
Same boat as you, man. I just do not see that happening. But, yeah, another thing that's cooked into the line here is Rodgers coming off a loss in prime time. I think he's just going to be pissed off. Like, come on, like, guys, let's fucking get it together. We're a better team than this. But right now, I mean, Green Bay, in our season preview podcast, I had them winning the division, easy playoff pick. They right now, if the season ended today, would not be in the playoffs, and the Vikings and Bears would be. So I don't really know what to think here. So I think that's cooked into the line a little, like Rodgers revenge. Like, come on, like let's figure it out. It's the second half of the year. So I have nothing in this game for sure, but yeah, I kind of see your Miami side, and again, +400 money line is pretty juicy as well, because the Packers just lost to 2 touchdowns to the Patriots.
Yep, and they lost the week before that too. Who they played? The Saints, I believe, the week before.
The Rams.
The Rams, yeah, the Rams beat them the week before that. So 2 primetime games in a row that Aaron Rodgers has lost. So maybe there's that cooked into it as well, where I don't think Rodgers has lost 3 games in a row in a very long time.
Yep, absolutely. The last game, the Monday night game, this is
the best game on the slate.
This game is terrible, man. We have the 1-7 Giants taking on the 2-7 49ers, your 49ers. Nick Mullins, whose name I learned about a week ago, is named the starter in this game. Eli is the starter on the other side. I don't know how, first of all, they came up with this Monday night game. I don't know who made the schedule for this, but it's probably going to be an all-time terrible game. So, I don't know. It's in San Francisco. I said San Fran by 2 points.
Yeah, I think this game was made with the thought process of Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jerick McKinnon. You know, if these guys were all playing the game and these guys were any good, this would be a marquee matchup to watch. But unfortunately, you know, McKinnon out for the year, Garoppolo out for the year. Barkley has been really good, but Odell struggled a little bit. Eli's terrible. But this game went downhill pretty quickly. There's 3 total wins between the two of them. Because we do play, I say we, because I'm a Niners fan, we do play at home, we play better at home, and I do think that we've got enough pieces to beat the Giants, and if Nick Mullins plays the way he did last week, I think this would be an even better way to go with the 49ers, but I think Vegas probably has it at a field goal, 3-point Niners.
You know your team very well, Jeff. It is exactly 3, by Vegas. Very nice guest to end the show at. Yep, it is San Fran by a field goal. Now, in this game, you look at on paper the Giants. Just look at their roster, their depth chart. They have Saquon Barkley, one of the best running backs in the league. You got Odell on one side. Evan Ingram had a huge year last year. He's really good. Sterling Shepard has had a pretty big year too. And then their offensive line is kind of okay, I guess. I don't know. They haven't been playing well as of late. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got Landon Collins, Janoris Jenkins. You know, they got Olivier Vernon. Like, on paper, they have a lot of talent. I don't know how they're 1-7. Like, I really don't. And from that perspective, I have to throw $50 on the Giants +3 in this one. I think they win this game. They just have too much talent. I know Eli's terrible. He's probably worse than Nick Mullins right now today. But I think the Giants have too much talent to. I mean, Pat Shurmur was a really good offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year, and Eli's just really sunk that team this year. They're definitely going to be drafting a quarterback next year. There's no question about it. But I can't see them losing to the 49ers with Nick Mullins. I just can't see it. There's too much talent. Odell on primetime. Barkley, they're going to get him going. Some screen passes to him. I think he tears them up. So I have $50 as my last bet on the New York Giants +3.
So you said you couldn't figure out how the Giants are 1-7. I'll tell you how they're 1-7, and that's Eli Manning. I mean, he is legit the reason why they're 1-7. I know their offensive line has some issues. He's constantly under pressure. He's always dumping the ball off Saquon Barkley, it seems. I think Barkley is pretty close to leading the league in running back catches, I believe. It's just Eli Manning. I don't know why the Giants just didn't get a quarterback in the draft. They should have just got. I know they did get a quarterback. They got Luetta or whatever his name is, who just got arrested for something. But they got him late in the draft, and he's not very good. So I don't know why they even bothered with that. But they need to replace Eli Manning. They need to find something to get rid of Eli Manning. He just has to go. This offense should be good, and it's just not. And my 49ers defense has been playing pretty decently lately. I mean, we hung in there for a little bit. With some pretty decent teams over the last few weeks. You know, obviously we don't have a chance to beat any of those good teams. Our defense has been playing pretty good. We're getting some good pressure on the quarterback lately. Versus the run, we're actually one of the better teams in the league. And I know Saquon Barkley's all-world, and I think he'll have another all-world game here. But if we can get to Eli Manning and cause 2 or 3 turnovers from him, which is not out of the question, I think that we do find a way to win this game. And it may come down to a field goal.
I like it. I can totally see that happening. But for me, I don't get it. I know Eli's been bad, but I just keep. How about this? How about just give the ball and put it in Barkley's hands every single play? I don't care. Like, he's been so fantastic this year. I, of course, am a huge fan. He's on my fantasy team. He's got 20 points in every single game this year. He's been fantastic and one of the best running backs in football. So just give the ball to him. Virtually every play, throw a couple Odell slant passes in there. I think that the Giants sneak out this W. So that for me is what I'm seeing in this one, and that is all we got for you tonight, guys. So thank you for tuning in. Just to recap the bets we have, $1,000 money line parlay on both Los Angeles teams, our Los Angeles parlay, Rams Chargers, $1,000 wins you about $450. Then a $300 13-point tease, Rams +3, Atlanta +9, over 37 in the Rams Seahawks game, and then under in the Jets Bills, under 50 there as well. So $50 on the Giants as well +3. I like 2 as a little flyer. So get those bets in early. So the lines are bound to move. They moved a lot last week. The Rams were underdogs to the Saints then. We're favored by the end of the week by 2 or 3 points. So that is all we have. Thank you, Jeff, for coming on. Really appreciate your insight and taking time out of your busy schedule. You're on like 4 or 5 podcasts a week, man.
Yeah. It definitely made things difficult with the website too, trying to get all this stuff done. But it's fun. I love it. And it's a good time coming on podcasts and just talking football.
Absolutely, man. Well, appreciate you having you. Good luck in all your fantasy, your 10 fantasy leagues you're in. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully you can make some DFS money as well.
Sounds good. Have a good night.
Yeah, peace out, man.